on television, she became one of the number one advocates for this thing we call religious pluralism and tolerance. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll define the term. What she began to argue with her audience members, who would say that Jesus is the only way to salvation, and she would say things, we have on record and on video, saying things like, Jesus is not the only way. He couldn't possibly be the only way. There's no way he could possibly be the only way. There are many, 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 many ways to find the light, she would say. Our recent president, I mean, not to unload on our most recent, our president before the one we have now, but it's just a historical fact. He identified himself as a Christian, and in several interviews during about what he actually believed, he said that he couldn't imagine a state where there was a good and loving God. If a good and loving God exists, as he believes a good and loving God exists, that everyone wouldn't be saved regardless of what they believe. And that he wouldn't really want to be a part of it if it was any other way. Well, you know, that on the surface, that sounds kind of cool. Like, why can't we be friends? Can we bring the band back up here so I can sing the whole thing? Why can't we be friends? Well, we can be friends. We can be neighbors. We can be fellow countrymen. We can hang out and eat pizza together. We can do lots of things together. How about this is what we can't do together, and that's spend an eternity together if we don't follow the one true Jesus Christ. And that's not me making that up. It's not me making the rules about what that means. That's God himself, the God of the universe, making up those rules. Tolerance. The two prominent beliefs is Christ is not the only way to salvation. The second one is that tolerance is the supreme religious principle. Let's talk about, you're going to talk more about toleration, so I won't drill down too deep here. But here's a couple of points about toleration. I call it the toleration slide or the slippery slope. It kind of, you know, it doesn't seem, it seems kind of harmless, the first step you take on a slippery slide. Kind of harmless. Well, it's just one step. I know it's, you know, it's, imagine you're on one of those really high slides that goes into a pool or something. Let's say the water's out of the pool. And there's just a big concrete hole down there. And you get up there and you think it's all cool. Well, I'll go ease out there and I'll just, you know, when you first go, it's a little flat when you start, right? I mean, it's kind of a little flat when you start out on it. And then once that slope takes off and you start slipping, there is no unslipping. Once you go and you lose your grip, you go all the way to the bottom. It's a slippery slope. I call it the toleration slide. Toleration means, here's how it starts. It starts out with an openness to other religious beliefs besides Christianity. And that's perfectly fine to be open-minded if what you mean by that is listen to the options. Because let me tell you something. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got nothing to fear from any other worldview. You have nothing to fear. You don't have to play this like other people play. You don't have to play this, no, I can't hear you. I'm just going to overshout you, and I don't want to hear what you have to say because I'm afraid you might be right and I might be wrong. No, we don't have to do that. You don't have to be afraid that the truth claims of the Bible or Christianity are not true. You just trust me. You do not have to be afraid. So it's okay to listen to another point of view in terms of courtesy. If you have a friend or someone in the public sector or a teacher, we don't want to shout down everyone who disagrees with us. It's not necessary. Not necessary. It's not useful. We don't have to shout down all the opposition. We don't have to round up everybody who doesn't believe in Christianity and put them in jail like other places do. We don't have to fly a plane load full of innocent people into buildings of innocent people, like happened 16 years ago. Some of you weren't born then. You've all heard the story of 9/11. That's what people of another religion called Islam did. Kind of so afraid and so mad that somebody might disagree that they would kill them. We don't have to be that way. We don't have to be afraid. We can be open-minded in the sense that we don't have to be afraid of other points of view. But we should not be open-minded in the sense of pretending that, you know, being open to false statements about God and about the way to salvation that are not true. Here's what happens. You first start out with openness to other beliefs, and if unchecked, you learn that other beliefs will contradict Christianity. We'll talk about that later. One of the prime problems is we fail to recognize that many religious propositions of other religions and worldviews contradict the Christian one. And we'll talk about what to do and how you solve a problem when someone says, uh-huh, this side of the room for me, say uh-huh, and you say uh-uh, ready on cue. You see, now we're not getting anywhere here. But it's not simply a matter of it's because. One of the things we're going to try to accomplish tonight is we say, Jesus is the only way to salvation. Which are you? Are you uh-huh? Okay. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus is the only way to salvation, because. You see, Jesus is the only way to salvation because. So we're willing to give those reasons. Other reasons contradict. When you accept contradictions, you end up compromising Christianity. You say, well, Jesus doesn't have to be the only way. He can just be one way. I don't have to give up on Jesus completely. I'll just say Jesus is one of the ways. It's very, very chic. It's very cool these days to say something like this. Well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what works for me. You follow whoever and whatever you want to follow. If that works for you, I'll follow Jesus. That works for me. And to that, you say, because. We have to learn to say, because. We have to learn to say, because. Sometimes you're saying because you're stating the truth, but you can't just state it and say everything. Look, it may seem to you like every statement's a mic drop, but it's not to a lot of people. Jesus is the only way to salvation. And all the people over here said, Well, just saying it doesn't make it true. It's true or it's not true. We're going to talk about that. But saying it doesn't make it true. And saying it louder doesn't make it any more truer. Saying it more often to infinity doesn't make it any more or any less true. We have to say what's true. We have to say our reasons for true. Or we have to say when we want to say that's not true. So the toleration slide causes us to compromise. It opens the door for compromising any and all of the Christian beliefs. And then it takes us to a place where there are no absolutes, there are no absolute truths, which is a dangerous thing. Let me tell you how this works. You know what a proposition is? What's a proposition? Okay, that kind of proposition. All right, yes, it's a statement. That is a proposition. A statement or an offer of truth, a claim for truth is a proposition. Give me an example of a Christian proposition, a claim that something is true. Give me an example. Sin is bad. That's a proposition. What's the opposite proposition? Okay. Now, if the proposition sin is bad is true, can the proposition sin is good be true? Well, you're not wanting to play, are you? Because the world wants you to accept all things as being true. That's what it means to live in a community of harmony where everything is true. Well, here's the one problem with that. If every proposition is true, what does that boil down to? There are no true propositions. Well, we know that there are true propositions. Let me tell you what the end game is of the evil one who is our enemy. The scriptures say that Satan is a deceiver and a devourer and a destroyer and a tempter. He is the great liar. And the end game is for us not to believe anything. Because, you know, Satan doesn't care what you believe as long as you don't believe the truth. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't care what you believe as long as you don't believe the truth, because he's against everything that's truthful and good and beautiful. So this toleration slide leads there. So our conversation tonight is against these concepts. You can write them down and we'll give you some, make room for some definitions. Universalism. Universalism. Here's what universalism says. Some so-called Christians, and I call them that because I'm not real sure you can be a Christian and hold this view. As a matter of fact, let me go out on a limb and say, Pastor Kai doesn't think you can be a follower of Jesus and believe what I'm about to say. Some so-called Christians say that all mankind will eventually experience a rewarding eternal life with God. That's a universalist. Universalism. There are people who think of themselves as Christian. If you have them identify themselves as Christian, they identify themselves as Christians, but they say that all mankind will eventually experience a rewarding eternal life with God. And you say, But now we're not going to just say, We're going to say, because. We're going to learn to say, because. We don't think that's true. That's what universalism states, but that's not true. Another competitor in this arena with the statement that Jesus is the only way to salvation is what's called religious pluralism. So write that down, religious pluralism. Now, it's one thing to say, let me say what we're not talking about. It's one thing to say that we ought to learn to coexist, and we should. I mean, Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists should be able to go to the mall or go out to eat, or vote, or live in a neighborhood without killing each other because of what they believe. Way more than that, shouldn't just not be able to kill each other, but should respect each other. Shouldn't call each other names, shouldn't be unkind to one another just because of their differences, etc. We ought to find a way to get along with each other, even though we have different religious beliefs. That's perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, that's what we call the American way. That's perfectly fine. Agreeing to disagree, if you will, and be civil with one another, that's not what we're talking against. That's perfectly fine. What we're talking against tonight is called this. It's religious pluralism that's defined this way. Some people say that all religions are true and provide a valid way to experience a rewarding eternal life. All religions are true, or basically true. Now let's talk about that for a minute. Let's define some terms. What is a religion? You've talked about worldviews. Last week you talked about worldviews, and religions are a kind of worldview. But all worldviews are not religions, but all religions are worldviews. You can have a worldview, for instance, of being an atheist or an agnostic, which you'll probably talk about. Well, neither one of those are religions. They're worldviews, but they're not religion. This is what a religion is. A religion is a system of beliefs and practices that provides values, it gives life meaning and coherence, and directs a person toward transcendence. All the religions of the world do this. Now, when I'm talking, if you want me to say that again, I'll provide this these documents to you if you want to just catch the high points. Ms. Hannah will find a way to provide these documents for you with these definitions. But a religion is a system of beliefs and practices. Believe it or not, even though it's not true, false religions, that means non-Christian religions, they do give people meaning to life. There's no ignoring that. They do. They provide some continuity and some coherence and some cultural value to people. They give life meaning. Even false religions provide some kind of, in the same way that relationships that are not Christ-centered marriages, a marriage provides some positive elements, even if it's not a Christ-centered marriage. Are y'all tracking with me here? We tend to think that, you know, there's, unless it's genuine Christianity, it couldn't possibly provide. Well, let's be honest. Wouldn't it be completely, absolutely, like, I can't understand why billions of people would believe those things if they didn't provide something for them? Of course they do. It doesn't provide what they hope, but it does provide something. It gives a kind of a social coherence. It gives a common understanding. It gives life meaning. It fills in the gaps of the misunderstandings. And so that's what religion is. Religious pluralism says that all religions are basically the same, or basically true, if you will, and provide a way of experience, a rewarding eternal life. Here are some of those religions. If you want to jot some of them down, we're going to address how genuine Christianity is different from these. We'll call evangelical Christianity the kind of Christianity we are. Okay, so what kind of Christianity is Cornerstone Baptist Church? It's evangelical. It's Baptist, right? But it's evangelical Christianity. It's Bible believing. It's evangelical Christianity. There are lots of people, lots of religious organizations that think of themselves as Christian, but all wouldn't come under the heading of evangelical Christianity. There's also Catholic Christianity. There's some significant differences between Catholic Christianity and evangelical Christianity. We'll talk about that. There's cultic Christianity. Now, when I speak of cultic Christianity, what do you think we have in mind here? Some religions that you might think of as counterfeit Christianity. Mormonism, good. Jehovah's Witnesses, is that the one you were saying, Elder? What are some others? Well, okay, we had Catholic Christianity earlier. Yes, ma'am? Well, Scientology, she's not one of those, but she's got Scientologists on her show. Ethan Hunt is a Scientologist. Tom Cruise. Yeah. And John Travolta. Would y'all like me to do my John Travolta? Get the music up here. I'll do my John. Oh, never mind. You ever heard of John Travolta? Oh, please. Come on. Get cool. All right? John Travolta. You could name 5,000 people that I don't know who they are. Okay, so that's even. But I probably could name 50,000 people that you don't know who they are, unfortunately. So cultic Christianity. We think of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Scientology, Christian Science, New Age Christianity, all those kinds of things. Then we have Islam, we have Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, and traditional religions like African traditional religions, the religions on the continent of Africa, and the traditional religions of the Americas, North and South America and Central America. Those traditional religions, that's that encompasses pretty much everybody in the world that has a religion. There are some exceptions, we could go over those, but the vast majority of the 7 billion people in the world fall under one of those headings. Now, here's the problem. It really is a ridiculous assertion to say that all religions are basically true and the same and can provide the same thing. What a lot of well-meaning people think, and you may have had a school teacher or a well-meaning friend or someone like this explain it to you like this. They would say, well, Islam and Christianity are basically the same things. They just call their God Allah, and we call our God Jesus. How many of you have heard something like that?
Sure.
Basically the same. Well, it's just, hello, help me out here. It's just not true. Now, it kind of sounds like, oh, well, that kind of accounts for it. It's just naming something different. Okay, so let's do a little exercise here. This is a what? It's a table. Okay, let's give it a makeup name. Who wants to name it?
Jerry.
You want to name it Jerry? Somebody from over here, give it another name.
Amadeus.
That is creative. And I think we can do better than Jerry. Now we got Amadeus.
Jedediah
Amadeus. Okay. Now we have a table, and whether we call this table Jedediah or Amadeus, it's still a table, right? Can you bring me a chair up here? Because I'm old. I'm good looking, but I'm old. So I need a chair. Just a chair, any chair, a chair, making a chair appear from nowhere. All right, here we go. Got a chair here. Thank you. Are you Zach?
Yep.
How'd I do that?
I don't know.
Whoa, I must be something else special. All right, so let's say this. So what is this? But what is it? It's a chair. And what is this? All right, hang with me. This is a table, and this is a chair. Okay, let's call this Jedediah, okay, or Amadeus, but it's still a table, right? Some people would like us to think that all religions are like this table, that we just call different names, and that's the only difference. And to that, we would say, oh, that makes perfect sense. I get that. But that's not the way it is. Some religions are tables, and some religions are chairs. And chairs are not tables. They may be similar. They may both be furnishings. You might could use this chair to eat supper off of, but it's not designed to. It's just not designed for two or three people to sit around this chair and say, and you could probably sit on top of this. I couldn't sit on top of this. If I got on it, I would. Would you like to see me get on? I can flat foot this table. Now let's move it down. No, you don't want to see me do that. The matter of religion, you were going to get down. You were going to like, I was going viral, wasn't I? You were waiting for the blood and the broken bones. So we have tables and chairs. No matter what, you can call them something different. There are some people who say all religions are like this table. We just call them something different, but they're really the same. But that's not true. Some religions are like tables. Some religions are like chairs. Some religions are like chapstick. Well, you can call this a table if you want to, but it's not a table. Some religions are similar. Islam and Christianity have some similar features, just like a table and a chair have some similar features, but some religions are so literally foreign that they're like chapstick to a table. Like, this is one religion and this is another one. And if you were to say, our religions are basically the same, you know all you've said to me as someone who who has read most of the world's religious books and studied them because I've taught on this kind of subject is the only reason why that's the case. But I've looked for myself. I'm not going on what somebody else has told me. I've read the Bhagavad Gita and I've read the Book of Mormon and I've read the Vedas and the Quran. So I've studied those religions as if I were going to be a practitioner so that I can understand them. So let me tell you as someone who's looked at them and studied them. Chapstick is chapstick and a table is a table and they're different. And just saying that they're basically the same only betrays that you don't understand what chapstick is. Or you don't understand what a table is. So the first conversation you need to have with someone who tells you something like this is, what we call it is not the big deal. What it is makes it the big deal. So there's religious pluralism. Now let me introduce you to a concept called, Let me introduce you to a concept that I'm sure you've already been introduced to, but it's important for tonight, and it's called logic. You ever heard of logic? The rapper, of course. No. There are laws of logic, and one of those laws of logic is called the law of non-contradiction. Who would like to take a stab at what the law of non-contradiction is? Give it a go, girl. Come on. Okay, that's true. You just made that up, didn't you? Okay, good. That's a true statement, but that's not the law. That's the law of non-contradiction is what? A proposition or a statement, and what? Say it. Say it. Yes, it is right. You can do this. The law of non-contradiction. Yes.
Is it like if one statement is true, then the opposite statement can't also be true?
Right. They're either both wrong, or one of them's wrong and one of them's right, but they can't both be right. Okay? So, Pastor Kai is good looking. See? That's a true statement. Pastor Kai is ugly is a false statement. They can't both be true because they're opposite. Now, it could be true that you could say Pastor Kai is good looking and Pastor Kai is fat. Both of those are true, right? So, but you can't say the opposite. You can't say Jesus is the only way to salvation. That's one proposition. And then say, but there are other ways. That, but there are other ways cannot be true. The God of Allah cannot be true that the God of Islam exists and the God of the Bible exists. Why cannot that be true? Yes. Right. But what do they say? Islam says, I am God and have no son. The Bible says, I am God and have a son. Islam says, I am God and have no son. There is someone named Jesus who didn't die on a cross to pay for your sin. The Bible says, I am God. I have a son. He is God. He died on the cross to pay for your sin. Islam says that's not true. They cannot both. They're saying something opposite of one another, not both true and different. Okay? Did you have, you wanted to add something? Right, Jesus is only a prophet, only a man. That's what Islam says. Christianity says, yes, he's a prophet, but he's not only a man, he's also God. So both of those cannot be true. So the law of non-contradiction rules them out. Can we get along? Yes. But the law of non-contradiction rules that out. Let me talk about another concept called inclusivism. We've talked about universalism, religious pluralism, and inclusivism. Now, inclusivism says this. Some people who claim to be Christians, some so-called Christians, say that Jesus is the only way to salvation, but you don't have to follow Christ or even know about him to experience a rewarding eternal life in God. This is what's called the anonymous Christian theory. That if you're a good Muslim, you practice Islam as well as you can, that God will give you credit because you're trying. Even though you reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who died on the cross to pay for your sins, there are many, many Christians who believe this, and this is called inclusivism. They would say that Jesus provides the only way to salvation, but you don't even have to know who Jesus is, and you don't have to follow Jesus. But that's not what the Bible says. This is called inclusivism. And there are a lot of people, a lot of teachers who teach inclusivism. Now we have a Kerriganism, a made-up word, that's called, there is a word for this, but it's way too complicated and too long, so I'm going to make one up. It's called meritism. M-E-R-I-T-ism. Meritism. Which is another competing point of view to the Christian point of view called exclusivism. And it says this. Meritism, some people say that faith in Jesus Christ is good and important, but personal righteousness is also required if you want to experience the eternal reward. We call this a faith plus works based system for salvation. Who knows what religions? Mormons are one of these. Faith and works. Mormons believe that you must have faith in Jesus to be saved, but that you must also have personal righteousness. What other religions? Catholics say that you must have faith, but the Catholic Church says that you must have faith to experience eternal reward with God, but you must also have personal righteousness. What does the Bible teach us? It teaches us something else. We're going to address that in just a moment. But so there are competing ideas that you have to be able to address because many people your age have these ideas, whether they're formal or not, they have these ideas, and let's rehearse them. Universalism says what?
All mankind will go to heaven.
Right? All right, what does religious pluralism say?
Are true,
basically the same, get basically the end result. What does inclusivism say? He's the only way to salvation, but you don't have to know, you have to go through him, but you don't even have to know him or follow him. He provides the way, even if it's a surprise to you, like you die and you get to the end of life and you go, oh, I didn't even believe in you, Jesus. As a matter of fact, I was very ugly to you, but I was a pretty good blank. And hey, amazing, I was an anonymous follower of Jesus. I didn't know it, and you let me in anyway. And then there's meritism, which says what? Faith and what? Self-righteousness or personal righteousness is also important. And now we have the view that we believe at Cornerstone, which is called exclusivism. Exclusivism. I'm going to give you some Bible verses for you to reflect upon and think about, and then you're going to have a moment of to in your small groups. Exclusivism is what we affirm. And exclusivism is the truth. All those others are incorrect. Universalism is not correct. Pluralism is not correct. Inclusivism is not correct. Meritism is not correct. But exclusivism, while it's not politically correct, is correct. People don't like it when you say it, so you have to say it a special way. But here's the truth. Faith alone, and write this down. If you didn't write anything else down, write this down. Faith alone in Christ alone is the only way to experience a rewarding eternal life with God. When we do these studies about American young people and religion, we notice that they're very religious. You're very religious, but almost any religion will do. 8 in 10. So let's say there are 50 of you in the room. Will the four of you stand up? The 1, 2, 3, 4. Would y'all stand up for me? Out of this whole room, by comparison, adults included, out of this whole room, this is the percentage of people who think of themselves as Christian who believe what I just told you is true. By percentage, all the rest of you, so you four sit down and the rest of you stand up. By percentage, all of you who are standing, by percentage of the population of American young people, reject exclusivism. You've been taught, it kind of sounds like a way for us to navigate this situation, but it is not true. You can sit down. Let me give you the truthful remedy for this. You don't need, have time. We don't have time to turn in your scriptures at this moment, but know this, that the book of Jude doesn't have chapters, but we'll call it chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Jude verse 3 and 4 says that we should contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Because there are those who creep in unnoticed to modify this truth and take it away from us. And there have been many who've crept into our world and taken away the truth and spoil it. We are told to contend earnestly for the faith. Ephesians 4:15 teaches us to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 says we should speak the truth in love. So the remedy is, you who are true believers in Jesus Christ need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Pastor Bill and I and Elder Darrell and the other elders and your leaders, we've still got many years to live, but we're not probably going to live as long as you are. And we really do want there to be a cornerstone if the Lord tarries 100 years from now, don't we, Elder Darrell? And let me just tell you what history tells us. We don't have a chance of there being a cornerstone who believes what we believe today if you don't contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Because our day will come and go someday, and your turn will come. And when your turn comes, and it's coming now, you will need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And when you do so, Pastor Kai and the elders, Pastor Bill, we're challenging you to contend earnestly and to speak the truth in love. You know, you can't just go around blabbing out the truth. You can't go around just saying, blah, 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 blah. You know how it, saying saying that you're against what everyone else is saying without good reasons. Have you ever seen Charlie Brown? You know, when Charlie Brown, when the adults are talking, what sound do the adults make in the Charlie Brown? Wah, 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 wah. Well, guess what? That's how you sound to the world. But that wah, 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 wah turns into piercing truth that bores into thousands of years in the future when you don't just say, when you say, because. That's not right, because. When you say that's not true, because, and you say it in love, you change a trajectory of people's life and they will listen to you. They may not agree with you when it's all said and done, but you will earn a hearing when you say, I've heard people say that before. Have you ever thought about an alternative? What if you were wrong? Could you live with the consequences? Are you open to listening to other points of view? I am. Because you're not afraid, are you? You've got the truth. Why should you, as the believer, be afraid? Speak the truth in love. We're going to give you some Bible verses, but the key, the most famous of all Bible verses to support exclusivism is John 14:6. The passage starts out Jesus saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and where and the way you know, where I go you know." And others said, "How do we know the way?" And Jesus said, here's a Kerrigan translation from the Greek text, which is intensified. "I myself and no other." Because in the Greek text it says, "ego I me," which is the most emphatic way you can say "I am." Ego I me. It's like saying, "I really, 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 really am, and nobody else is." That's what it says in the original text. I, Jesus says, me, 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 I, myself, and no other. I really, 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 and nobody else am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, what does it say? Except by me. That's the key verse. And the key verse against meritism is this: "For by grace are you saved," Ephesians 2:8-9. Help me finish this. "For by grace are you saved through faith, not by works. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." Salvation cannot be by our own personal righteousness. Don't let anybody ever tell you that. Jesus is the only way. So, I gave you a true-false question at the beginning. You remember the question? Faith alone in Christ alone is one of several ways to a rewarding eternal life with God. Is that true or is it false? Why is it false? Because it's not one of many ways. Listen to this. Jesus Christ and Him alone is not one of many ways. He's the one and only way. And don't let anybody ever tell you any different. And learn to say more than uh-uh if they tell you different. And learn to say more than uh-huh when your turn comes to say, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray.